Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Now, if you'll just stand with me for one more moment while we read Luke chapter 19, verse 35 through 40. They brought it to Jesus, it being the colt. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it, and he went along, and people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." To which Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, praise paves the way. Praise paves the way. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm a praiser," and that should either excite you or worry you. You may be seated. Why would it worry? Because there's people in this house that if the Spirit hits them right, they're going to dance all over your new shoes. You're going to get elbowed in the face. They're going to knock your glasses off. Praise paves the way. This is the beginning of Holy Week. It is what the Bible refers in the above text that we just read as the triumphant or the triumphal entry. Triumphal is an adjective that describes a celebration of great victory or achievement. How can something be described as the triumphal entry just 5 days later turn so dark, so bloody, and so gruesome? How can the very picture of Jesus on the cross, bleeding, dying, naked, crown of thorns in his brow, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a spear in his side, his beard has been plucked out. Those that followed him very closely now follow him from afar, if they follow him at all. Yet when he comes into Jerusalem by way of Bethphage and Bethany, they say this is the triumphant entry. Who is they? They were not the disciples. They were not the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They were not Mary and Joseph. They were not anyone that was in the moment. But we call it the triumphal entry because of what I like to say, and if you've heard me preach, I've preached on this a lot, what I call retrospective faith. No one in the moment called it triumphant. We call it triumphant because we have the ability to stand on this side of the cross and know that what Jesus went through was to get to what God sent him to do, which was to resurrect after the crucifixion. So we call it triumphal or triumphant because of the resurrection, not because of the crucifixion. So if you're taking notes, let's just jump in right here and tell you that God doesn't call you by what you've been through. God calls you by what he's calling you to. And if it's not good, then it's not over. If it's not right, then it's not over. You might have something that is painful that you're going through, but let me tell you something. What you are going to is not painful. God's got a victory with your name on it. God's got a win with your name on it. The W is still yet to be written in your life. And if I could encourage you to grin at the devil and tell him, "You gave me your best shot, but look at me now. I'm still praising. I'm still in it to win it. I don't like what it feels like. I'm uncomfortable. But if God said I was going to be triumphant, he's at the end looking back. I'm here looking forward. And I choose the report of the Lord over what you might say about my situation." Triumphal, it is a celebration of a great victory or achievement. Remember this, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That hadn't happened yet. He had opened blinded eyes. He had opened deaf ears. He had brought dead people back to life. He had delivered demon-possessed people. He had paid people's bills. He had fed people. But everybody was still lost. Why? Because there was a process called the crucifixion that Jesus had to go through. And I'll preach about it next week. And man, what a process it was. But the crucifixion, as gory as it was necessary for him to fulfill the prophecy that I'm here to seek and to save that which was lost. But the Bible says that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying so hard and crying that blood vessels began to burst in his forehead, and he was crying so hard that he was bleeding, and he was saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Father, I don't want to do this. But the Bible said, but for the joy that was set before him, he knew, oh, I don't like what I'm about to have to go through, but when I look at living way down the road, it's worth what I'm going to go through. When Chris stands up and praises me, it's worth every moment on the cross. When Sister Tanya worships my name, it's worth everything. Can I tell you what you're going through today? It might not be what you looked for in 2021, but can I tell you, if you're still breathing, that God's plan is still in effect, and all you've got to do is say, God, I don't like it, but there's a joy that's coming in my morning. There's a joy that's in front of me, and so I'll endure it to get to that. I'll endure it to get to that. A celebration of achievement. Nothing had happened yet. James and John are still under the impression that there is going to be a castle and that they're going to have the first and second bedroom in the castle, and they're going to rule on the left and the right side in a physical kingdom. Little did they know that 5 days after everyone celebrated his arrival, that the same people who said, Hosanna is here, would yell, crucify him. It's amazing in life how the crowd will turn very quickly. It's amazing to me who was in your corner on January 1st that on March 28th, they're no longer in your... Oh, come on now. It's amazing how many people told me, Pastor, I'm here for life just 6 months later. Oh, come on now. It's amazing the people that said, Pastor, if you need anything, you let me know. In the first two or three phone calls, they don't show up. It's amazing how quickly the crowd turns. But he wasn't focused on the crowd. He was focused on the joy. He wasn't focused on the process. He was focused on the promise. And can I encourage you that praise gets you to the promise? Can I encourage you that your worship gets you to where God has planned, orchestrated, and destined you to be? He hasn't won it yet. Hosanna's here. The same disciple that would cuss everybody out and deny Christ is leading the victory march into Jerusalem. 4 days, 5 days later, he's going to cuss everybody and say, I never knew Jesus. His brogue, his speech gives him away. Says, you talk like a Galilean. You talk like one of his followers. I remember seeing you. Aren't you the one who walked on water? And not only do they deny Christ, they deny the impact or the change that he's made in their life. Can I encourage you? Praise paves the way. As long as you praise, you can't deny. Come on. As long as you praise, I can't cuss you because I'm too busy praising. Come on, some of us need to clean up our mouth and clean up what we're saying. I can't speak doubt and I can't speak negative. Why? I'm too busy praising. Why? Because praise paves the way for God to show up in my life. And the only way I can start denying him is to quit praising him. That's why David said 7 times a day, I've got to praise him. Why? Because if I go for more than a day without praising him, I'll find myself denying him. I'll find myself not thinking I need him. But every 3.5 hours,
hours, I just stand in my room and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's a good God, even though what I'm going through is not good. He's a great God. He is faithful. I praise you, Jesus. There is no one like you. Your praise paves the way. Somebody ought to jump up on your feet and give God a triumphant praise on this side of the process or in the middle of the process. Hallelujah. Faith sees the testimony before the test. Faith sees the glory before the gory. Faith sees the triumphant before the trial. Pastor Manny, if you'll come up here and bring all those jackets with you. Three words if you're taking notes. Your praise matters. If you're writing it down, though, write it this way. My praise matters. As good as Sister Angela Richardson can sing in praise, my praise matters. As good as these gentlemen and ladies are on this platform leading us in praise, your praise matters. Your praise on Monday should just be just as strong as it is on Sunday. Your praise on Thursday should be just as good as it was on Wednesday. Your praise while you're going through hell should be just as good as it was on the best day of your life. Why? Because praise paves the way for God to show up. Said, for your ashes, I'm going to give you beauty. In the heavy moments, in the time of mourning, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. This is key, church. Learning to praise when things are not perfect is where praise is perfected, where praise is proven. Remember, the Prince of Praise, David, said, Saul, I cannot wear your armor because I have not proved your armor. But what I have proved is my hallelujah. What I have proved is my worship. What I have proved, I might not know how to swing a sword, but man, you get me just right. I know how to sling those praises. I know how to sling that worship. I know how to get God into my situation. So this is what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, in the middle of imperfection, in the middle of heaviness, that's when you get your praise. Give me the first jacket. Now, I'm going to try to preach while we're doing this, but and I'm going to be completely honest. We practice this in the office. Your boy needs to lose the quarantine 50. Yeah, F-I-F-T-Y, not 1550. Thank you very much. Ooh, that one's nice on the inside, too. The garment of praise. Say, Pastor, why are you putting on so many jackets? I need a lot of praise. Some of you are like the Texas Longhorns in the 64 tournament. You're one and done. You praise God once, and you think you're good for the week. You show up on Sunday, and they play your two favorite songs, and you get your praise on, and you're dancing, and you're pumping a fist, and oh, I feel Jesus, and then we go right back out the doors, we go right back out to life, and we don't talk to Jesus again till we're back in here, and we hear our favorite song, or we need something, and then we try to have him show up. No, I need a lot of praise. Why? Because I need God to never leave my side. I need to stay in the flow. I need to stay in the move. I need to stay in what God's doing. I don't want to get too far from what God's doing. That's why it takes being a disciple, because on Monday, this great praise team doesn't follow you to work. And on Tuesday, you might have a good podcast, but God doesn't want to just hear Brother Furtick's praise. God wants to hear your praise. God doesn't want to just hear Elevation's worship. God wants to hear your worship. I need a lot of praise. I need a lot of praise. It's getting warm. It's getting warm. It's getting warm. It's getting warm. I need more praise. Need more praise. Ooh, this one's a good one because this one's covered with Psalm 23. That's a good garment right there. That's the ultimate garment of praise. And it's getting hard for me to, big boys don't bend like this. get my arm in there. I need a lot of praise. You say, what are you preparing for? I don't know what I'm preparing for, but I know that no matter what is coming, I'm going to be a praiser. I know that no matter what's in front of me, I'm never going to get my eyes off of God. I don't know what April holds, but I know who's already in my April, and I'll be praising him in April no matter what happens. I love this. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mandy. Thank you very much. Happy birthday. You look beautiful. Very, very. You say you look crazy. Praise, real praise always makes you look crazy. Chris is my inspiration now because Chris has dropped 40 pounds. It's that fiance 40. He's getting married, so he's slimming down because he knows those pictures are going to live forever. But Chris was doing a move during the 9 a.m. service that I ain't seen Chris do in a long time. Chris, can you do the spin move real quick? Oh, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. You say that looks crazy. It might look crazy to you, but I got good news for Chris and you. It ain't for you, baby. He's not spinning for you. He's not praising you. You aren't the one that has put joy before him. You aren't the one that has promised him something. You might look goofy. You might look crazy, but God is going to show up in the middle of your spin, in the middle of your praise, in the middle of your worship. Woo! For all my friends, fans, could I be wearing any more jackets? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll be back in 15 seconds. It looks crazy to really praise. The same people that would despise your praise will go absolutely ape wild at a Cardi B concert. The people that will make fun of you dancing for Jesus will go crazy at a Post Malone concert. There's people that are experiencing March Madness that will fade in April. But for the real praisers, what we have, it never fades. It never goes away. When God shows up, I'm going to praise him so that he never leaves my side. I can barely get my hand up here. Your praise, it matters. It paves the way. Your faith matters. But the Bible teaches that the faithful friends of the paralytic man, that God looked at their faith and healed him. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anywhere in the Word of God that God inhabited someone else's life through someone else's praise. I think it's got to be your mouth. Let everything that has breath give praise unto the Lord. You know what's crazy? Is when a cow moves, it's praising the Creator. When a horse nickers, it's praising the Creator. When the pig goes oink, oink, it's praising the Creator. When your dog barks all night long, it's praise. Can I just ask you, why are you going to let your dog outpraise you? Why are you going to let some animal outpraise you? And fast forward to the end of the story, Jesus said, if my people do not praise me, I will give lungs to an inanimate object and the stones will cry out. As long as Living Way, we're not going to need stones. As long as there's praisers, we're not going to need rocks, because I will bless the name of the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Let's back up just a little bit, just a little bit. Jesus comes in to Jerusalem by way of Bethphage, Bethany, and he says to two disciples, go into the village that is next to us. There you're going to find a colt that has never been sat upon. I need you to bring him to me. And if there is some person that asks you where you're going with their donkey, and if someone asks you what you're doing, this is the phrase that you need to tell them. The Lord has need for it. I'm going to free a couple people today with God's word. Quit trying to explain what God has given you clear direction to do. You are going to debate yourself to death. You are going to talk yourself out of a miracle. You are going to debate yourself out of a move of God. But the next time the devil says, "What did God say? What do you think you're doing?" You just rear back, look him in the eye, and say, "God has need of this. God has me at this job for a reason. God has called me to this church for a reason. If God said it, then I believe it. That settles it, and I can have it." The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need. That means anything that the Lord needs, you have authority to take hold of. That's a word for somebody, whether we're talking about spiritual things. If God has need of it, that's why I think that we are way too concerned with paying off buildings and not taking cities. I think we're way too concerned with paying off mortgages and not building communities. I think we're way too concerned with us getting ours and not realizing there's a God that has need for everything. And if he has need for it, you and I have the authority to lay our hand on it. And the Bible says that when the disciples came back, that they took off. If I can do this without Mandy's. The Bible says that they laid the cloak over the colt that had never been ridden. You know what I love about this? This is not something Jesus said to do. This is a moment where disciples said, if he's going to sit anywhere, I want him sitting on something that I own, on something that I touch. Remember, it is the garment of praise that Isaiah, the same Isaiah that heralded the birth of Jesus, it is the same Isaiah who said he's going to give you a cloak, a garment of praise. You wear that garment. Brandon, why are you wearing so many garments? Because I never know when I'm going to need to let out a praise. And I don't want to need a praise and not have a praise. And so the disciples, they began to throw their coats. And this is just the businessman speaking. I think Judas, he grabbed his coat back when Jesus got to Jerusalem. And later on that day, it was on eBay or Facebook Marketplace. And there was a picture of Jesus sitting on the coat, sitting on the donkey, riding into the triumphant entry. And Judas put it out there saying, "This thing has been touched by the Messiah. This thing is something Jesus got involved on. It's got his anointing." Ooh, better than a potato chip that has Mother Mary burnt into it. Better than a Cheeto that looks like the Messiah. He said, "I've got something that God has touched, that Jesus has sat on." Can I remind you what the Shekinah glory is? The Shekinah glory is described as the creative God of the universe stepping over the throne and balcony of heaven and sitting down on the worshiper. Can I tell you that every time you praise, God steps in your midst, but every time you worship, God sits down. And when he sits down, what he's saying is, "I'm going to stay a while. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. You keep worshiping, I'll keep sitting. You keep praising, I'll keep staying." Check this out. John, because the triumphal entry is in all four Gospels. Go home and read them. Every eyewitness account picks out something different from this triumphant entry. In John chapter 12, verse 12 and verse 13, it says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches off of the palm trees, and they went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Let me go back to our original Luke 19. Verse 35. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and the disciples cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way where the donkey would walk. Verse 37, and when Jesus was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for what they had seen. Two praises are going on simultaneously. John tells us that the people that heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem started tearing the trees down so that they would have something to wave and something to pave the way. The Bible says the disciples started marvelously exclaiming and praising God for all the miracles they had seen. Two praises. The disciples and followers of Jesus are praising him for what he's done. See, that's church people. We praise God for that time he got us out of the hospital. We praise God that we no longer have a $20 a day habit. We praise God that we're no longer addicted. We praise God that we're no longer addicted to pornography or drugs. We praise God that we're not running down to happy hour, but we live a joyful life now that's not relegated to an hour where we numb what's going on around us. We are so thankful that he has opened blinded eyes, dissolved cancers. We are grateful that he has delivered us out of poverty and into prosperity. We talk about the great things that he's done. But I love the crowds that John talks about. When they heard that Jesus was coming, they praised because Jesus showed up and because Jesus was about to show up. Can I encourage you? The Bible doesn't say that they praised him after he showed up. They heard that Jesus, they got a Facebook invite, they got a sponsored post on Instagram that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They couldn't find enough coats, so they went and tore down branches, and they said, we're going to meet Jesus wherever he is. We're not going to wait on him to get here. They ran to Jesus and started waving those palm trees and putting their coats out in the way for the donkey to go over. Can I encourage you that God needs a runway into your life, and that runway is praise. When you praise, God fires up the engine of that Boeing 787, and he tells all the angels, get ready, we're about to land in Living Way. Get ready, we're about to land in San Antonio. There's a praiser. There's somebody praising me for what I've done, but there is a group of praisers that has praised before I've even showed up, and I got to be a God of my word. I inhabit the praises of my people. So you show me a praise, God says, I'll show you my presence. Somebody give God a big praise. So I praise God for what he's done. But I praise God for where I need him to be. I praise God because I know he's going to show up. I've been married for 18 years. It's been a great 18 years. It's been years. But every once in a while, the devil will try to bring up discord or a disagreement between me and Pastor Mandy. But it never lasts long. Why? Because we're praisers. Why? Because we're disciples. We follow him. We remember all the things that he's done, but we remember all the things that he's promised to do. We remember standing before God and man on February 15, 2003 and saying, for better or worse, sickness and health, when we're acting crazy, when we're acting right, doesn't matter what comes our way, we just put a praise on it. Is there anybody that understands if you're having problems, you got to put a praise on it? So if me and Mandy ever have a disagreement, I just take off a garment and I just say, here's some praise. I'm going to cover that thing in praise. Because when I get through praising, who's got their wallet with them? I'm not going to take another offering. Yeah, they're getting wallets out. Anybody ever have any money problem? Money problem? Yeah, I see them. Lift them up. Money problem. Are sometimes self-inflicted. Sometimes they're not. So when bills and money don't add up, you can complain, you can get grouchy, You can blame God. You can blame the president. You can blame the last two presidents. You can blame everybody else. Or you can say, you know what, God? Even though I don't have enough, you are more than enough. Even though I don't see it, the Bible says that you will supply all of my needs according to the riches in glory. That's in heaven by Christ Jesus. So instead of complaining, I just put a praise on it. That's all you got to do. Just cover that thing in praise and just keep focused on Jesus. God, you're going to show up. God, you're seeking to save that which is lost. God, you're doing something significant in my life. God, I praise you and I need you, God, to show up in a very real way. Are you saying, Pastor, all I've got to do is praise? That's all you've got to do. It's a start. Why? Because the God of the universe. Well, what about what's going on overseas with Iran and Iraq? God is a big enough God to keep his finger on the pulse there and to stir up prosperity over here. God is big enough that while all the tension in Washington is going on, he's got his finger on the pulse in Washington and he's putting his other finger in your marriage, making sure that you don't act out or make a decision that's going to ruin the rest of your life and mess your kids up. Can I encourage you? Praise paves the way. Put a praise on it. Put a praise on it. Need God to show up, put a praise on. God, this is where I need you to be. God, this is where I expect you to be. God, this is where I need you to inhabit. I know it's not Sunday morning. I know it's not Wednesday night. I know I don't have the greatest voice, but hallelujah, you are greatly to be praised. There is no one that compares to you. There is no one that does what you do. And even if you leave and the situation has not changed, you have changed. God is now involved in the situation. I fly a lot, but there's these two guys that I always see when we land, and they're out there with glorified flashlights on the tarmac. That was YMCA. I'm just kidding y'all. They're called air marshals. Not to be confused with the marshals that fly on the plane since September 11th. They're the original air marshal. I looked up how much an air marshal makes. It's hard to decipher. But I found out, and if you're an air marshal, I'm going to put out your average business. I'm sorry. But the average air marshal makes $19,000 a year. He's standing out there on that hot tarmac, and he's got a 787 Boeing that is being piloted by two pilots who have gone to a minimum of 4 years of school and had 140 hours of training to fly that plane that is filled with 300 passengers. Some of those passengers are millionaire basketball players, lawyers, doctors, politicians. There's a tower on the edge of the airfield or in the middle of the airfield, and there's an air traffic controller in that place. And in that place, they go to a minimum of 4 years. They have to take aviation classes. And sometimes they have a higher IQ than even the pilots that are flying the planes. The pilots that are flying the planes, their average salary is $160,000. The average air controller salary is $120,000. And the average air marshal salary is $19,000. But without the air marshal, the plane doesn't know where to go, doesn't know where to pull in. Doesn't know how far it can come in. Doesn't know where to stop. Doesn't know that this is the target. Doesn't know that gate B is not for you. Gate A, this is where you're supposed to be. So can I tell you and just preach air marshals for about 60 seconds at the closing of this, that if you want God to show up, you're going to have to become a praiser, and a praiser is an air marshal. Because what you're saying is God, you make a lot more money than I do. God, you're bigger than I, you're smarter than I am, but God, I know that you are relying on mankind to praise you, to give you an airfield to land in. Oh, it gets better. Pastor Becky, if you'll come, it gets real good. I studied a lot on this. Every movement that they make means something. So check this out. When they do this, it means right here, this is where you're heading. Isn't it amazing that when we praise God, what's the first thing we do? See, this is going to help somebody. You haven't raised your hands all service long. You know what's going to be really bad is when God parks that 787 right next to you and you get to see somebody else get theirs, but you go home without yours. That's why you better put a praise on it. Not them, not her. You better put a praise on it. You better praise God. You better give God a sacrifice. It's a $300 million aircraft. And you got $19,000 a year, Brandon, saying, right here, healing, right here, deliverance, right here, restoration, right here. The next time you put your hands in the air, not only does it mean I surrender to God, not only does it mean I let go, you are announcing to all of heaven, right here, God, is where I want you. There's two more I got to teach you. This means right here. The next one means keep coming. Keep coming forward. You know what that one is? Oh, you're getting the revelation now. So when we start the service and you hear them play the first note, or on a Monday afternoon you need God to show up, or on a Tuesday you just want to talk to God, you say, God, right here. Come on, God, keep it coming. Keep on coming with your grace. Keep on coming with your mercy. Keep on coming. The final one. One fist. And there's a million ways I could preach this next one because of where we are in our world. One fist means stop. I've seen some of you, when the preacher's preaching, you're pumping that fist. And then I just see you. You didn't even know it, but your spirit man was saying that word right there, stop. That one was for me. That move stopped. That one is for me. And so when you praise from here on out, from here until you get to heaven, even when we get to heaven, you're going to see us lifting our hands saying, God, right here. I'm here. God, keep on coming. Keep on coming. Stop. This is where I need you. This is what I need to hear. This is what I need to feel. This is what I need you to do. Woo. 60 more seconds. I could preach this air traffic all day. They're not allowed to mix any symbols or signals that they come up with on their own. They can only use what's in the book. And in movies, they depict something that is not true, because in the movies, you see them. Air marshals are never allowed to move backwards. They have to stand in one spot. And they have to give every signal. Why? Because of all of the distance, it changes. And the pilots can't have a moving target. They've got to have somebody that is planted saying, right here is where you need to come. Keep on coming. Now stop right here. And I've seen pictures, and those planes are just a few feet away. You don't want God stopping at the next house over. You don't need God stopping at where you keep running back to. You need God to stay right where He wants you to be. Paves the way. I want you to get out of your seat if you need God to show up. Some of us are in between, and we're coming in, and it's our triumphal entry. And we call it triumphal because of what God has promised. But there's a process that we're going to have to get through. But I want to tell you that your praise right now, when you lift your hands, you're saying, God, right here, right now. Keep on coming, Jesus. Keep on talking, Jesus. Keep on speaking, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Right here, God. Your servant's ready to hear from you. You speak and I'm listening. You move and I'll move with you. Look at those that are in this altar today. Your praise is paving the way. You don't have to wait till Easter Sunday. On this Palm Sunday, just like they crowded the streets, we are crowding an altar with our hands uplifted saying,